What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And welcome back to our show, hour number two. The phone lines are open, 512-248-8252. And down in Guantanamo Bay, the oldest prisoner held there has been freed. He was held for 17 years without a charge. 17. He is 17 years. It's been described as being alive in your own grave, but he was finally reunited with his family. The British human rights group Reprieve said that Paracha's detention was an injustice that can never be rectified and accused U.S. authorities of kidnapping him in the prime of his life. And yes, that is exactly what happened. He is 75 years old now, and being 70 myself, I can tell you, you're not in your prime anymore. All right. Now, down in Brazil, they've had elections, and Joe Biden's already out there, huzzah, huzzah, because the liberal candidate won there by a narrow margin. And already there are forensics experts saying that there is something wrong with the election, because Bolsonaro was leading all through the night, and then suddenly, you know, just before the end of reporting, his opponent pulled ahead. And same pattern we saw, you know, with that little curve for Biden, and takes that little jump up there at the end. So this group that does forensic analysis came on out and applied Bedford's Law. This is a statistical formula to analyze publicly available data provided by the Brazilian Electoral Court. And the formula showed inconsistencies in voting tabulation in several regions across the country. And so stealing elections is not confined just to the United States of America. By the way, when Biden sent out his message of congratulation, he made a point of saying, you know, this was the result of a free, fair, honest election. And methinks the resident doth protest too much. And here is where things are going to get a little bit sticky. And they're not going to announce this before the midterm elections, but probably right after. This is coming out of the intel drop. The U.S. military is in collapse in the sense that they are failing to meet their recruitment goals. I mean, they've got all kinds of signing bonuses, all kinds of free stuff. You can get a free sex change operation if you sign up, and so forth and so on. It isn't working. But apparently, this year there's a shortage of 25% recruits for the U.S. Army. They're down 25% from where they want to be. Biden is considering reinstituting the draft. And whether it's going to be for just men or for women remains to be seen. There have been several efforts to bring women into draftable status. There's a message there to the feminists. Be careful what you ask for, because you may be on the hook. My personal view is that a military draft violates the 13th Amendment regarding involuntary servitude. So if you get called on up and they run you through the thing and they say, you know, if you volunteer to serve, you just say, no, I'm not volunteering. Okay, and they'll probably harass you and abuse you and other things to get you to go along. But in a world where the rule of law, the Constitution, is supreme, a military draft does violate the 13th Amendment there. Okay, 512-248-8252, and we're going to go to Tom in Florida. Hello, Tom. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hey, good day, Mike. Happy Halloween to you guys.
Everybody Happy Halloween. Trick or treat.
Trick or treat. Smell my feet. Give me something good to eat. Remember that one?
Yeah, I remember that one.
Here's what's on my mind, Mike. Before I go to what I want to...
Hello, Tom? You went away.
Can you hear me?
I can now, but you went away for a minute.
Yeah, Mike, what I was going to say is Pelosi's husband... it's Paul Pelosi. He 5 months ago, he got DUI'd, and the police officer at the time said he was hammered.
Yes,
he
did.
When he was, he said he was hammered. So he got hammered twice. And Mike, I figured out, like I called another show earlier, I figured out why this guy, DePape, had a hammer in his hand. You know why? Because everybody in San Francisco, it's a tent city, Mike. Remember, it's a sanctuary city, tent city. You can put up a tent anywhere. And the guy probably thought he could put up a tent in Pelosi's living room. That's why he brought the
well,
hammer.
Well, obviously he was wrong about that one, but my understanding is the hammer that was recovered at the scene belonged to the Pelosis.
Yes, that's what I heard too, Mike. I don't know what we don't know what to believe anymore. Because the world's
no,
gone
we
mad.
Don't.
I don't know what to believe.
You know, for me, the important part of the story is that Americans are not automatically willing to accept the official account of anything anymore. And that means that the deep state, the powers that be, the political parties, the corporate media have lost control of what Americans think, and that is a bit of a victory.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, we only got a week to go, Mike. A week from now, we'll be knowing a lot of stuff here going down. It's going to be, I think, nothing but good news. But I got to say this, Mike, one more thing about Pelosi. This guy, Paul Pelosi, was buddy-buddy with a guy named Ed Buck, who happened to donate a lot of money to Adam Schiff's Schiff.
I remember Ed Buck.
Eddie Buck is in prison for life. Did you know that, Mike?
Yeah, he did. He was convicted of accidentally overdosing one of his male prostitutes, giving him drugs, and the guy died. And so, yeah, he's in jail.
Now, Mike, on the phone call, Paul Pelosi's saying this is a friend. The guy, the pop is a friend, hammer him in the head. What's going on with this scenario here? I mean, this whole thing is like, now the guy's living on a hippie commune. He lived in a yellow bird school bus. And he, Mike, did you see the video of him? He was the best man at his ex-wife's wedding, and she's a full-blown nudist.
Well, yeah, that'd be worth showing up for.
Yeah, what a trip, huh?
Yeah.
Anyway, that's what all I got to say about Pete Pelosi. Thank God she'll be retired out here in a week from now.
We can only hope. We can only hope. But again, the
unknown
factor is the election fraud.
Well, say bye-bye to Piggy Pelosi. The Marxist, Communist, Bolshevik get booted out, pretty sure. Now, Mike, here's what I want to talk about Governor DeSantis.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, you ain't going to believe what just happened about 2 hours ago. I went
Tell
to the
me.
Credit union. I had to go to the credit union. I met a school teacher. And she proposed. I couldn't believe it, Mike. This is your RBNs aren't going to believe this. I met a school teacher who's, she was a big shot here in Dade County. She's a Hispanic, a school teacher, wonderful lady. She told me, I asked her, she had a Dade County school board shirt, and she's like a big shot for the school board. Her name was Casanova.
Okay.
And she told, yeah, Casanova. She told me, Mike, listen to this. And I couldn't believe it. She goes, have you heard about what Ron DeSantis is doing here in the state of Florida with the Hispanic assistant governor, the lady that's Hispanic? Ron DeSantis has a Cuban assistant governor.
Okay.
The lieutenant governor. And she told me that they had a school board meeting here. Dade and Broward County had school board meetings. And, Mike, you were talking about the other day. It was like, I think people are listening to your show. She says They're going to bring back. They're trying to get cursive back into the school system. She still
Good.
Teaches her kids after school who want to stay after school in her classroom. She'll teach kids cursive. And I told her she didn't believe what I told her, but then she told me the reason why they were trying to. She said the reason they took it out of the school board system is because it was costing the school board too much money because kids weren't getting it. I'm like, what? She goes, yes. A lot of kids were like getting frustrated. And then I said, wait a minute. And then I told her what the reason is because they can't read it. They don't want nobody to read the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and all that. She goes, oh, you know, I never thought of that. I say, well, yeah. She goes, you know what? I'm going to bring that up at the next school board meeting, Mike.
Oh, well, I hope we didn't get her in trouble.
No, but she's kind of a big wig. So I think
okay.
What she's going to do is, and I called DeSantis' office today, and I called Kat Kamak, and I proposed that to the secretary, and they love my idea. Now, you have to bring cursive back, and that's what's going to be on the Florida legislature. You're going to promote that. You watch. I bet you, Mike, within a month from now, you'll see that where kids are going to have to learn cursive here in the state of Florida. I bet you.
Well, it's a more efficient way of writing. I mean, you know, doing individual letters is very, you know, it's like what they did to mathematics, where they took, approaches to multiplication or addition, and they junked them up, you know, with loops and hooks and everything back there. And, you know, when I was a kid, we learned multiplication. The first thing we did is we memorized the multiplication tables from 1 to 10. You know, 7 times 7 is 49. I don't need a calculator for that. It's inside my brain. And today, the way they're teaching math, even Tom Lehrer made fun of that transition when he did a song about new math. That's a very funny
well,
song
God,
I should post it.
Yeah, go ahead. When I was a kid, I remember everything was called arithmetic, not math.
Yes.
It was called arithmetic. And I don't know why they got rid of that name. People don't even realize the word kindergarten is a German name. I thought the Germans came over here and organized a school system here in the United States called kindergarten.
Yeah.
I don't know if people know that. But impressive, especially probably here in Indiana and in those Midwestern states. But here, Mike, here's another thing. Mike, we had a story broke over the radio. It was on the Mud Show, and I heard it earlier from another guy that there's bed bugs. These illegal aliens are bringing in bed bugs in the United States like crazy. They've never had such an outbreak of bed bugs all over these cities.
It's probable it's possible that the bed bugs are coming in with the illegal immigrants, but also with the economy the way it is and virtually all of our money being poured into Ukraine, that health departments across the country don't have the resources to deal with these pests, and not just bed bugs, but, you know, ants and so forth, you know, other critters.
Yeah, unbelievable. Hey, Mike, did you see the story in Los Angeles where maybe Peter will call in today about the father and his daughter got murdered with a knife? The guy stabbed them to death. He stabbed him and her, right? He stabbed the father, and then he stabs the daughter. And while he's dying, the daughter's getting stabbed to death. Can you believe that, Mike?
I saw the story, but, yeah, it's scary what's happening to this country.
It's unbelievable. I don't know if the guy's a transient or what, or an illegal alien. We don't know. But, Mike, this crime rate is off the charts. And you're just
going
to bring back the hanging rope. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care. Some of your late crazy callers, you need to bring back hanging. You bring back public hanging, and we end all this crime. As a matter of fact, Mike, there's Clint Eastwood made a bunch of great movies back in the 60s. You know, all the hang 'em high and all that. We need to bring back a rope, man. Forget this nonsense. Bring back a rope, and you will stop a crime in all ethnic groups. Black, white, Hispanic, I don't care who it is, Chinese. You bring back a hanging rope, and you'll stop this capital crime. All these crime waves. Look at Chicago, Mike, over the weekend again. Did you see that?
It's a mess.
There's another. Huh? Mike, six died now. There's six dead. There's three in critical condition. And I believe it was 18 shot. Actually, it was kind of a low ball number. But they must be getting better at targeting because they killed six of them. Three of them in critical condition. And the other nine, we don't know what happened to them. We're going to need a colostomy bag or what kind of wounds they have, one in the arm, who knows, leg. I mean, Mike, I can't even imagine what the medical bills for all these gunshot wounds are off the United States. How much would you say this, Mike?
It would be horrendous. I mean, you know, dealing with a gunshot wound, I mean, that's, you know, you're talking major surgery there. And, this is draining the resources of the taxpayers.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
I'll tell you, I would rather spend that money on enlarging the police departments than on simply cleaning up the mess from the current policies.
Absolutely, absolutely, Mike, absolutely. But again, Mike, you know, the country's a madhouse, but hopefully we'll change here in another week. I wish that one guy from Jersey call in and tell me right before the election what bumbling Biden, that BDI, I call him BDI, BDI Biden, what has BDI Biden done in the last few years for this country, Mike, to do anything positive?
Okay.
I can't name one. What has BDI done? And now he keeps screaming, BDI Biden said, oh, they're going to take your Social Security away. Well, Senator Rick Scott said today, no way are the Republicans ever going to touch Social Security, ever.
Yeah, Social Security is a third rail in politics. Nobody's going to mess with that.
Yeah, Rick Scott said that today. He said the Democrats are lying their teeth off and bumbling buffoonery. He has dentures. And, Mike, I saw him the other day. Bumbling buffoon BDI looks so weak, Mike. It's disgusting. I mean, I hate to say that about my own president, but he looks like a total weakling, BDI. And, Mike, one more question, and I'm going to let you go. If there ever is a kind of a civil outbreak or civil war, which side would the Jews go on? Who would the Jews go for?
Whichever side had the most money.
There you go. That's why they're the loudest ones at a football game, Mike. You know why, right?
Yeah.
You know, they get that quarterback. You get the quarterback.
Yes. All right. Well, listen, thank you very much for the phone call here.
Happy Halloween.
We have lines open, 512-248-8252, and we're going to go to Jim in northern Michigan. Hello, Jim. What's on your mind today?
Yeah. Hi, Mike. Good to hear you. I always love your first hour. Is always great. I mean, you have a real knack for reporting news. I mean, you're very good at it. I guess I'd like to say is that I hear everybody talking about what has Joe Biden done for the country? and I know you know this, and I think everybody else does, he's not running a darn thing.
No, he isn't. He can't find his way off the stage, let alone run the country.
Yeah, with your last call or two as far as crime and what have you, the direction the Justice Department, the justice in the United States, it's not going to get better. It's been actually manipulated to have more crime and just to make it total chaos in our society, and I think we all realize that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there's one of two things going on there. One possibility is, you know, seeing the increase in violent crime supports the gun grabbers' agenda, although gun bans have never disarmed the criminals. The other one is that organized crime has succeeded in capturing the government, which is why you have Joe Biden handing out free crack pipes and all this soft-on-crime prosecutors across the country and, you know, $0 bail. You know, people just, the local prisons have got revolving doors on them now.
Yeah, I'm 74, Mike. I think you said you were 70. Is that correct?
I just turned 70.
Okay, yeah. When I was a kid back in the 60s, I remember, and this goes back to the serfs and the kings, that when there was a war, the king was out in front with the soldiers leading everybody into battle, you know?
Yes.
And back in the 60s, they had this wonderful commercial, was on TV. They showed a boxing ring out in the middle of a field, and there were limousines coming from one side with official-looking flags on them and from the other side. And what it said was, and they have all these old politician guys, okay, they put boxing gloves on, and they start beating each other up in the ring. And I guess what it said after everything is, wouldn't it be nice if the politicians or the presidents had to actually fight the wars?
Yeah, I've made that point many times over the years, although in my case, it's not a boxing ring. It's like a big sports stadium, and we hand the contestants chainsaws, and whoever comes out with the most bodily parts intact gets to be the boss.
And I remember you always saying, orange jumpsuits, parachutes, and here's your gun.
You know, and here's your, well, for the warmongers there. And, you know, going back to the chainsaw games and everything, we could sell that on pay-per-view and pay off the national debt like that.
That's a great idea. You make so much sense here, my friend. And, you know, I think the cursive thing, too, because my son went to public school, and my daughter, and when he was young, they did not teach him cursive. And John Moore always says on his program, the thing is, if you took your child to Washington and had them look at the Constitution, they couldn't read it.
Yeah.
And I think that's the biggest national tragedy as we have. But, you know, you look back, and I had an educator from Washington State who was a brilliant guy. His name was Jed Brown. And we talked many times. I had interviewed him on a couple radio shows. But he was saying that back the early 1900s was called the Council of Ten, and it was made up of Carnegie and people from the University of Chicago, but movers and shakers in industrial. And what mm-hmm. they did is they produced a system, okay, where they had bells, and they always call it the agrarian, but it wasn't the agrarian, it was the industrial, okay, education, where they
yes.
had bells you would have, you know, while you're working, and they had so many units of science, reading, writing, arithmetic, and it was a wonderful program. I mean, people were literate. I mean, even look at back in the early 1900s, the black population in the United States here, 80% literacy.
Mm-hmm.
They were just flourishing here. But what happened in Jet, what his theory was, the fact that back then money was the means of production, and the big rich people controlled money for production, and then we got up to the information.
Okay, Jim, I hate to
yes.
interrupt. I got to put you on hold. We got to play some commercials. Don't hang up. I want to come back and hear the rest of this. We'll be right back. 512-248-8252.
Oh, yeah. you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Forced to carry his own cross while we drive nails in his coffin. You might say it is routine. It happens far too often. Decorated soldier, veteran of the war. Who would have thought that he would be among the sick and poor?
And welcome back to our show here. We have open lines, 512-248-8252. We're talking with Jim in northern Michigan. And Jim, if you could pick up where you left off, because you were in the middle of building a nice logic chain there.
Well, yeah, thanks, Michael. And again, like back in the early 1900s in Carnegie, they used to call the education, they had such things as Carnegie units. And those Council of Ten set up a very, very good educational system. But the means of production back then, okay, was money. They controlled the money.
Mm-hmm.
What happened was, according to Jed Brown, and I was very fortunate to meet Jed. I never met him personally, but interviewed him quite a few times. I was given his name by Charlotte Isaby, and he was an incredible. He ran for Secretary of Education in Washington State. He was very much against the outcome-based education when it came and knew how destructive it was for our children. But he was saying that what's happening back at this time, okay, at that time when I was talking with Dad, he says, the means of production now was knowledge. And the
yes.
people, they had to control the knowledge, okay, to keep everything in line, just like when they controlled the money. So the means of production is now knowledge. And that's why they are taking knowledge away from our children, okay, because they control the means of production. And I look back at that, and I just, he was a man way beyond his time as far as knowledge and where things were heading. And as was Charlotte Isaby, you know, she had a lot to do with making people aware of the changes in education. But yeah, it's really sad. And I look now, my wife still works with the school system, and we're pretty fortunate up here. Our children are actually, we're from a small, very rich tourist town. And our children are still getting a halfway decent education, but I kind of fear for the fact. I mean, back when it was Ronald Reagan and it was Bell was the Secretary of Education. They were graduating children with this outcome-based education, and they always took the rural areas, okay, Chicago, Detroit, and all these other places where they implement outcome-based education, but has nothing to do with. The outcomes had nothing to do with math or reading or writing. They all had to do with behaviors. And they were graduating children in the eighth grade in Chicago that actually had never read a book and couldn't read above the third grade level. So, you know, it started with Reagan, okay, and Terrell Bell was his name. He was Secretary of Education. And she was seeing the fact that the dumbing down, that's the book she wrote, was a dumbing down of America.
Yes.
And it is so... so true, and that right now I think they say that maybe 40 or 50% of the young people in the United States right now can't read a third grade level, and they're primarily
the statistics are really kind of bad. And I mean, the idea that they can't even write cursive anymore—you know—it seems like education is forcing them to basically be obedient little servants to the computers. They look on the computer screen, it tells them what to think, what to do, they type in, and that's their job. They go do the things the computers cannot do for themselves, and, you know, they don't require much education to fill that role.
Well, we had back in, it was years ago, too, we had the Michigan Department of Education, they redefined, okay, we had outcomes that the state said we have 10 outcomes we want our children to achieve when they are leaving the 12th grade education cycle. And only one of them had to do with anything to do with reading, writing, arithmetic. It was arithmetic. But what they did back then is they changed the term of learn. Okay, and you always have to look at the definitions when you're reading, you know, legislation, what have you, or
yes,
changes in the educational system. And what they did is they changed the term learn from the exchange of knowledge between teacher and student to a change in behavior which persists. And that's still on the books in Michigan right now.
And like conditioned behavior, you know.
Well, back when they had the Office of Education, before it became the Board of Education, the government, the Office of Education, went to Michigan, University of Michigan, and they wanted to actually find out what the future teacher would be like. And what they did is they went to a department and they said, okay, let's figure out what the teacher of the future is going to look like. And the word teacher was done away with, and the new term was facilitator.
Ah, okay.
This is at the University of Michigan. And what they did when the Office of Education, when they went to University of Michigan, they didn't go to the educational department. They went to the behavioral science department to figure out where the teachers of the future are going to be coming from. So the government was
very much... That's kind of scary. It explains much, but it's still kind of scary. Anyway, Jim, we're coming up on another commercial break, and I'm going to have to let you go here. But that was a very insightful call, and I thank you for it. So we still have open lines, 512-248-8252. We're going to take a break for commercials. We've got Al in Canada when we come back.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one. RAD. Consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Born in the city with a silver spoon, great-grandson of the oil tycoon, raised by wolves, thinks he owns the moon, socialist banker to the one-world goons. Davy Rockefeller, chairman of the CFR.
And welcome back to our show here. We have open phone lines, 512-248-8252. We're going to go to Al in Canada. Al, thank you for waiting so patiently. And what's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. That was a great call you just had. You know, it's a public hanging, because you need a hanging judge. You know, and
yes,
the Lord loves a hanging, you know, just as much as the next person does. But how about a public shaming?
Yeah, we could bring back the stocks and the pillory, and we could go really wild and go back to drawing and quartering. You know, if we really want to get down that path here.
That's crazy. That is absolutely crazy. I sent you a little clip off of YouTube. It's a little excerpt from Troy, where Achilles, says to the king, wouldn't it be nice, if the kings could fight their own battles amongst themselves,
yeah,
whatever he said, right?
I mean, Napoleon led his troops, Alexander led his troops, and today we have these politicians of questionable sobriety sitting in a bunker someplace sending other people's kids off to die.
Questionable, yeah. So the last call... it's not just the United States that's being dumbed down, Mike.
Yes.
I mean, it's just it's sweeping like wildfire in Canada. And we know why. We know why they're doing this. The federal government ultimately gets involved in education and with funding, right? And then with that funding comes these little ties, you know, where you have to do this in order to get that.
Yes.
Right? And ultimately, the children suffer, and eventually you end up with an academia that have BAs in nothing. When I was
yes.
in grade 6, my shop teacher said, you know, with social studies, if you take poli-sci, he said, political science, or any of those types of courses, you get a BA in bugger all.
Yeah.
Right? So he was a big guy, because that's just memorization crapola, right? There's no
yeah.
critical thinking involved. Today, they teach kids what to think, not how to think. And you have said this time and time and time again, and it is so true. I see people coming out of high school that can't even read a tape measure. They don't know. But here's the thing: when I say tape measure, it could be a metric one or imperial. But they don't even know that an eighth of an inch is 0.125.
Yes.
You know, that much of an inch, a sliver. And of course, if you look at the other side, which is metric, which is so easy, it's all tens, right?
Yes.
When you start dousing them with numbers that are in the thousands, millimeters, which aren't very big, it just screws their head up because they have no concept of size. You know what I mean? Like they don't,
yeah.
Space, they have this whole space continuum thing that they just can't understand. And so you get a lot of people, you know, where they're, I hate to say this, Mike, but where they're flat earthers, right?
Yes, yeah. We get a lot of those around here.
Yeah, because they just don't understand how, they can't actually consider in their own heads how big the planet is in relation to us. And then you look at other planets like Jupiter.
Yes.
And then finally, you know, the sun. They can't grasp that sort of thing, the concept where you have a pea on one side of the room and you have a tennis ball on the other. And, you know, that's not even, so that pea be, let's say, you know, the moon, and the tennis ball would be the Earth. They can't take something like that and then, you know, extrapolate. And it's a shame. And it's getting worse and worse and worse and worse. It's like
yes.
you said, we're going to end up with a bunch of drones. They can't think for themselves. And the people that are in power, they love that. That's what they want. They don't want people asking questions.
Well, actually, you know, getting on back to Andrew Carnegie and his foundation, his philosophy was that the general population only needed as much education as it took to do their jobs and fill out the paperwork, and anything above that was really unnecessary.
Yeah. Most of the jobs now, Mike, are service-based jobs, right?
Yes.
Which means, you know, 2-all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, things on a sesame seed bun.
Yeah, you want
and
fries
that sort
with
of
that?
Jazz. Yeah. Here's another example, and this happened to me yesterday. I went to Canadian Tire to pick up a vacuum that I had bought online. Now, I paid for this online, right? And that, stupid me, I forgot to get the order number, right, when I left.
Mm-hmm.
When I got there, and I said, I'm here to pick. Well, do you have the number? I said, no, but my, you know, you might have my name, and it'll be on the tag. No, it won't. What do you mean, no, it won't? That's not how we do this. You have to have that number. I said, well, I can see the vacuum right there. I saw it. All I had to do was just move, like, about 3 feet on the other side of some lockers. I said, see that vacuum? That's the one I ordered and I paid for online. Oh, we can't. You have to have the number.
Yeah.
Oh, I was so angry. I went home. I grabbed the number because I got to drive, you know, to get this thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, gas up here is like $1.70 a liter. Anyway, I walk in. The girl grabs, with the number, the girl grabs it. Mike, you know, I'm blind in one eye and can't see the other. My eyes aren't as shiny as yours. I could have seen my name 10 feet away on that thing. It was right there. Right there. Boom. I said, you lied to me. Why? Because there's my name on the tag. And she looked at me like, oh, you saw that. Because they don't show you the tag, right? They just take the tag off.
Yeah.
And she looked at me as if, oh, yeah, he caught me in a lie. I said, see? I said, what's wrong with you people? And the lady next to me, she was about 28. And she said, it's not her fault. She only knows what she's been taught.
Yeah, that's true.
And I said to the lady, you're telling me that when I said that you could see my name on the tag, she didn't believe me? Or she's never seen one of those tags before when she's working right in this area? And she shrugged her head or shrugged her shoulders and she said, most of these people aren't smart enough to even understand 2 + 2 = 4.
Yeah.
And then she looked at me and I started laughing and she started laughing, but it was like, wow, is this what it's really like? It's sad.
Yeah, in some places it really is like that. And I saw a lot of that when we still lived in Hawaii. around here, there's a lot of homeschooling, and people tend to be very sharp and knowledgeable and generally well-educated. So it's not a total loss yet, but it's definitely heading that way.
It's coming. It's coming, Mike. It's, you know, I hope things turn around. I really do. Anyway, I appreciate your time. I hope you and Claire have a great night. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much here. The lines are open, 512-248-8252. Getting on back to the economy, we now have 71 countries, that's 7-1, are now in the process of dropping the dollar, of de-dollarizing. Saudi Arabia has just sold off 35% of their dollar holdings. Israel, our supposed friend in the Middle East, has dumped 20% of their dollar holdings. Japan has dumped 12%. They can all see what's coming. And again, you might want to pay attention. We have this commercial running on RBN for Kettle Moraine. You might want to pay a little more attention to that because when the big crash comes, you know, silver and gold will hold their value, and that paper is going to be just as worthless as we've been telling you all along. It's not actually money. It's just a pretty printed piece of paper that is keeping track of how indebted we all are to the private central bankers. Now, New York City is dealing with their own economic and educational problem. They're seeing a drastic rise in the number of homeless students. And I applaud those homeless students who are still out there trying to get an education and trying to, you know, find a way out of that mess that they're in. But there's more and more of them. And to me, that says we are living in a failed nation. Okay, 512-248-8252. We're going to go to Pat in Fort Worth. Hello, Pat. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Mike, I'm starting to wonder if Joe Biden wasn't trying to say something when he said that many states. Puerto Rico does not want to be a state, but their leader did a few years ago.
Yes.
And they got so tired of voting... no, and it not meaning anything, that they just didn't vote, which is, see, everybody wants to be a state that voted, which wasn't
many. Well, you know, when Hawaii was captured by the United States, there was a referendum held that the Hawaiian people overwhelmingly voted to be an independent nation and not part of the United States, but the United States went on out and grabbed them anyway. Both for the agricultural produce, the sugar, which was in short supply, and the strategic position that Hawaii occupies in the Pacific. In fact, it was often referred to as the battleship Hawaii.
Well, the American Samoa is just on the other side of Hawaii, right?
Yeah, well, it's a little further. It's not just on the other side. It's a little bit further on.
Okay. Apparently, they don't want to be citizens of the U.S. because, see, from what I understood back in the Puerto Rico thing was, they don't have enough money to pay our kind of taxes, or and, you know, and just too far away, like California. You got to make a lot more to live there, and
yes.
things like that. You know, so they don't want to be U.S. citizens. But some guy brought a case. Some guy in Utah, and it has to do with being a national too. You know how all this thing is coming up about whether you want to be a United States national. Is that, you know?
Yeah.
So maybe Biden thought that the Supreme Court would take it up, but they chose not to do it. And they kept saying that the UPI version I read, it said that it would appear to be a racial thing. And
well, there's another possible explanation for Biden and Obama talking about misstating 50 states, because it's kind of a narrow definition. When you talk about the 50 states of the United States, not all of them are states. Some of them are commonwealths, like Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, and so forth. They're still considered states, and maybe Biden was thinking about the states, the commonwealths, and the territories. And that's where he got that number. Or he's just having another dementia moment.
Or maybe he was hoping that something would happen, that they could call them states and they'd get more Democrats. I don't know.
Well, I'm sure he's thinking along those lines, but the optics are bad when he says 54 states to an audience that has been raised saying there are only 50 states, except us older people who were born when there were only 48.
Well, the Supreme Court decided not to get in on that.
And well, good for them.
Yeah, and I just wondered, maybe that's why he was trying to just see, what did they used to say that Clinton would do? He'd throw out a trial balloon.
Well, could be, but I'm a big fan of Occam's razor. The simplest explanation is most likely the true one, and the simplest explanation is that Biden had a little brain fade there and was on national TV. So, Pat, thanks an awful lot for the phone call, and we're going to let you go. We have open lines, 512-248-8252. Getting on back to the economy, we're seeing the natural gas prices start to spike here in the U.S. just in time for the temperatures to drop into the basement. Old Farmer's Almanac, and even pretty much everybody's saying it's going to be a much harder winter than we have witnessed, and so there's going to be a tremendous demand for natural gas, and we're all going to be paying for it because of this silly little chest beating thing going on with Russia. Now, over in Germany, they're trying to clean up a mess because a local power company there was going to tear down several wind turbines to make way for the expansion of an open pit coal mine. Now, this runs contrary to the green policies and the green agenda, and the environmentalists are out there saying, don't you dare tear down those wind turbines. Well, wait for a stiff wind. They'll blow over on their own anyway, like they've been doing here. And so it's a bit of a paradox there, but the German Energy Authority is saying we don't have any choice. The wind turbines are not producing the amount of energy that we can get from coal-fired power plants, and that's just the ugly reality. And, you know, when things get tight, people get very pragmatic, and they let go of the blue sky, wishful thinking, wouldn't it be nice if we could power the world, you know, on a cup of water or something like that. Now, automakers around the world are facing a problem, and that is the chip shortage. And so a lot of car makers are starting to go back to much simpler, basic automobiles. And starting with Toyota, they're now delivering new cars with an ordinary mechanical key instead of the smart one because they cannot get the chips to make the smart system works. Okay? And they're going to go back to these basic keys. And we're going to see a lot of people start to say, well, you know, it was nice while it lasted, but we can't get the parts to keep these little things running. So we're going to go back and, devolve technologically just a little bit. Now, this next story really annoys me. This is coming out of Bullhead City, Arizona. And it talks about this 78-year-old grandmother, Norma Thornton, who was arrested and criminally charged for feeding the hungry. Now, there's a new ordinance. The city has said it's a criminal misdemeanor to share prepared food in a public park for charitable purposes. And, you know, as the city attorney clarified, people may freely share food in public parks at social events like a party or a wedding or so forth. But the party cannot include homeless people or you could go to jail. Well, homelessness is a reality in this country. It's one of the other many indications we are in a failed state. And if the government's not going to help these people, then we have to. Okay? And that's just how it is. We got to take another break for commercials, and we'll be right back.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show. Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Happy Columbus Day. I'm Peter Serafine, and this is today's Liberty Minute. Yes, I said Columbus Day. Christopher Columbus challenged the science of his time and was right. He did not fall off the edge of a flat earth. Instead, he charted the path to the new world, a pioneer worth celebrating. Columbus's daring journey into the unknown should be recognized as proof that science is never settled. Science should always be questioned and challenged, and anyone who says that the science is settled clearly does not understand the basic principles of science itself. Facts can only maintain their factual status if they are routinely questioned and challenged. To be fair, the indigenous people of the Americas deserve celebration too. Maybe there should be a National Indigenous Peoples Day, but it should not replace Columbus Day. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, Sivas Pashem, Parabellum.
Some are maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far $5.15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And welcome back to our program, last segment of the show today, and we're going to go to Joe in Alaska. Hello, Joe. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I hear you just fine.
Okay, yeah. I'm on a Bluetooth set up here on my phone. So there's this former mayor of Kenai Peninsula Borough here in Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
His name's Charlie Pierce. He resigned recently over a allegation of sexual misconduct with one of his subordinates.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems that this is politically motivated.
That's kind of a given.
Yeah, the timing is very suspicious. He's running for governor against Governor Dunleavy, who's married to a native out in western Alaska. And Dunleavy is, of course, taking marching orders from the native corporations because they're the ones that are getting all this money from Lisa Murkowski.
Okay.
I read his letter recently about why he's running and involved 3,000 minors in state custody. Many of them have been in and out of foster homes dozens of times. And they're mostly native kids from out west.
Okay.
And Charlie Pierce seems to be the only one talking about this, and it's a big problem. When I was out in Nome, one of the pairs of the community on the planning commission, he was white, and he was like the chairman of the Alcoholics Anonymous outfit in Nome. Alcoholism is a huge problem, and that's why we have this problem with homeless children. I don't know if I ever brought up to you about Bambi the crack whore, born and raised in Nome, ran away from home when she was 11, caused the CEO of Alaska Industrial Hardware to go to jail, and CEO of Vico Oilfield Services, and cost Senator Ted Stevens.
We've got to wrap up, Joe. We're almost at the end of the show.
Okay. Well, the point is, this transgender tranny shows, they're having them in public parks here up in Soldotna.
Okay. Well, Joe, I got to cut in here. We're at the end of the program. Stay tuned for the National Intel Report. Steve Elkins is taking the microphone. Please spread the word of republicbroadcasting.org. Spread the word of whatreallyhappened.com. Thanks to everybody who is helping us financially through these dark times. We'll be back tomorrow. Aloha, America.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.